Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across all of Europe and beyond. Are you up for it?
Israel is committing war crimes. They have stated it publicly. This isn't a matter of opinion. They declared their intention to force, through the threat of military bombardment, more than a million, and it is now well more than a million, Palestinians from their homes in northern Gaza and ethnically cleanse them. A crime against humanity. They stated publicly and have done it in front of the eyes of the world, the intention to deny to 2.2 million people water, electricity, medicine, life-saving equipment.
A few weeks ago, right before this war in Gaza ignites, Netanyahu goes to the United Nations General Assembly and he holds up this map and declares his plan for a new Middle East. What it is an economic corridor that stretches all the way from India to the United Arab Emirates, into Saudi Arabia, into Jordan, Israel, and then finally to the entire European continent. You have all these spooks in Washington and Tel Aviv. you know, running around desperately trying to counter BRICS and counter China's New Silk Road. And this is their answer. This is a rival to the New Silk Road. It is the future of world economics, trade, and politics.
I've heard these claims since 2009. We have twice been threatened to leave Shifa Hospital in 2009 and 2014 because the Israelis were going to bomb it because it was a command center. Now, I have been working in Shifa for 16 years on and off, in very hectic periods. I've been able to walk freely around. I take lots of pictures, I video film, I've been sleeping in the hospital during bombardment. I've been all over. I've never been restricted, controlled. Nobody has ever controlled my picture and documentation material. So, well, if there is a command center, show us. You have pictures and x-ray films of all Gaza, all the tunnels, everything. So why is it that these 16 years of threats that Shifa is a command center has not been given any evidence at all that it de facto is now? If it was a military command center, I would not work there because I obey to the Geneva Convention.
All parties involved in the conflict are governed by a body of law drawn from systems of conventions, treaties, and war crimes tribunal rulings known as international humanitarian law or the law of armed conflict. Israel has not ratified certain protocols in the conventions covering areas such as collective punishments, but the US and other countries regard these provisions as having entered customary international law and therefore binding on all states. Also said that Israel may be committing the war crime of collective punishment through its siege of the Gaza territory. The International Committee of the Red Cross agreed.
The instructions issued by the Israeli authorities in recognition of Gaza City to immediately leave their homes, come in siege, explicitly denying that food, water, and electricity are not compatible with international humanitarian law,
it said. Amnesty International said that it has
documented unlawful Israeli attacks, including indiscriminate attacks which caused mass civilian casualties and must be investigated as war crimes.
Palestinians and Palestinian human rights organizations have long warned of the likelihood of genocide being the inevitable frame through which to access the widespread and systematic violations being committed against their people across the occupied Palestinian territory. Since October 7, 2023, Israel has escalated its 16-year-old closure over 2.2 million Palestinians in Gaza, where approximately half the population is under 18, indiscriminately and repeatedly bombing civilians while cutting off access to all basic necessities, including food, water, electricity, and medical supplies.
Secret of it that they've always killed Palestinian civilians, sometimes at the rate of 100 to 1 Israeli death. So I think, given that, I think the use of the word terrorism is a mistake.
Is we're seeing, no one can say no to Israel. The United Nations isn't able to say no to Israel without repercussions. Media figures aren't able to say no to Israel without repercussions. So what ends up happening is that you're basically raising a spoiled brat you're unable to say no to, that has now grown up to be a sociopath.
But I never, never will concede that the essence of the Palestinian struggle, as the Israelis say, is terrorism. I think that the Palestinians, by and large, to a fantastic degree, have waged war against a merciless occupier, a person, a state, an army, an enemy that has dispossessed them and has done far, far worse to Palestinians than any Palestinians have done to Israelis. And I think one must always make the distinction between terrorism, which is, as I say, random and stupid and unpolitical, and the struggle against an oppressor. And I think in that particular distinction, I'm obviously for the latter and totally against the former.
Do you condemn it? We've heard this melody before. In fact, it has echoed across centuries. 56 million Native Americans was killed, and the question was, do you condemn the wild red Indians? 250,000 perished when nuclear bombs devastated Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the question was, do you condemn Pearl Harbor? 3.6 million people has been killed in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen, and the question was, do you condemn 9/11? Over 1 million people were killed in Iraq, and the question was, do you condemn the weapon of mass destruction? The list is long, but you get the full image now. It's the same story with different villains. And here we are, once again, do you condemn Hamas? Another attempt to justify brutal killings. This is not a war between religions, because those who are behind it, they don't believe. This has always been about power and resources, and that's the bigger picture. Expecting a solution from those who created the web is like a bug asking the spider for its freedom.
Any human being living under apartheid at some point will either die a terrible silent death or rebel.
Where is that written exactly? You keep saying it as if it's a fact, a legal fact, but I don't know where that is. I don't know where to find that fact. I mean, I know where it is, where it's written that the Palestinians have a right to resist occupation even by armed struggle. I know where that is. I can show you in your own laws where that is. But where is this so-called legal right of an occupation to defend against the legal resistance of the occupied? Where is the right to defend occupation? That's what I want to know. And don't try to tell me that Gaza is not occupied. Israel controls the borders. They control sea access. They control the airspace. They decide how much food they can even have, how much water, whether they can have fuel, whether or not they can even turn the lights on in their own homes. Israel decides all of that. They decide whether or not they have internet access. I don't know how much more occupied you can be. It's as occupied as a concentration camp. Even when Israel tries to claim that it has the right to do what they're doing, in Gaza, they cite the rules around non-international conflicts, meaning they do not consider Gaza to be a separate, independent territory.
But the best that can be said about it is that it's advanced a political goal. I mean, certainly the Zionists have used it and brought it, in fact, to the area. Terrorism, as we know it today, the planting of bombs in marketplaces and so on and so forth, was, in fact, introduced into the Middle East by the Zionists in the 20s. So I'm against that, but what I'm also trying to say is that some people will say that it advances a political cause. I myself don't feel that it does. I mean, I think it in this way, it simply attracts attention to it. But the net result of Zionist terrorism and violence in the first third of the 20th century has brought forth, to my mind, the anomaly, the horrific and unacceptable status in the Middle East today of the State of Israel, which is in fact an armed garrison state, which now exports more arms and distributes violence all around the world, vastly disproportionate to its size. I mean, in that respect, I think it's a horrible cycle of violence. But in it all, I think the Palestinian is the victim. There's no question about that.
A few weeks ago, right before this war in Gaza ignites, Netanyahu goes to the United Nations General Assembly and he holds up this map and declares his plan for a new Middle East. What it is an economic corridor that stretches all the way from India to the United Arab Emirates, into Saudi Arabia, into Jordan, Israel, and then finally to the entire European continent. You have all these folks in Washington and Tel Aviv, you know, running around desperately trying to counter BRICS and counter China's new Silk Road. And this is their answer. This is a rival to the new Silk Road. It is the future of world economics, trade, and politics. Within the span of a few weeks, Iran and Iraq have signed a railway deal. So now you have a rail link for the new Silk Road. And President Assad of Syria, who the West have been trying to isolate for over a decade, is now visiting China, the world's largest economy, and signing a strategic partnership. So now the new Silk Road has rail access all the way to the Mediterranean Sea through Syria's port in Latakia. So not just land, but maritime trade. This is just one aspect. You still have the gas. Russia is the country with the largest proven reserves of natural gas. You control Ukraine, and you control the pipelines that feed and supply Russian gas to Europe. For decades, you've had U.S. politicians, Republican and Democrat, from every administration, openly saying on camera, we don't want Nord Stream.
Pipelines that will go through Ukraine and Russia. For years, we've tried to get the Europeans to be interested in different pipeline routes. It's time to do that. You want to depend more on the North American energy platform, a tremendous bounty of oil and gas that we're finding in North America.
Lo and behold, Nord Stream 1 and 2 are blown up. This is that question. The largest terrorist attack on European infrastructure in modern history. So now there's no more Russian gas coming into Europe, and just like that, the United States have achieved a long-standing foreign policy objective. Now, the only other country with enormous gas reserves, the second largest in the world, is Iran. Iran signed the nuclear deal in 2015 and 2016. They're complying in every way imaginable. The IAEA and the UN cannot be happier. And then the United States go back on their word and they rip it up just like that and reimpose sanctions on Iran. So now Iran is barred from selling its oil and gas to Europe and others. So Russia and Iran, the two countries with the largest gas reserves, are out of the picture. And Israel, all of a sudden, propose themselves as a solution to the European Union's gas shortages.
Take out bilateral energy, for example, that we closed in June with Egypt and Israel. It has played an important role in our strategy to get rid of the Russian fossil fuels.
How convenient! In 2010, they conduct a geological survey and find this giant gas field in the Middle East. It's called the Leviathan, and it's in the Mediterranean Sea on the Levantine Basin. That means it's right off the coast of Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria. Syria initially declines offers over its gas reserves and simultaneously refuses to lay pipes for a Qatari gas project. Barely a year later, war breaks out in Syria. And who's funding it? Qatar and Israel and the United States are just some of the parties funding and running this war to overthrow the government in Damascus. Today, the United States control one-third of Syria, they control all of Syria's oil fields, and Israel is bombing Syria's most vital port, Latakia, on a regular basis. So they're cutting off all the oil revenue and destroying any maritime activity, such as trade, such as gas exploration. Another major port on the Levantine coast is in Beirut, which mysteriously explodes in 2020. And so Israel, proposing itself as a solution to Europe's gas shortages, shows up with an FPSO, this enormous gas extraction vessel, and tries stealing gas from Lebanon's Karish gas field. And, you know, this reignites a huge maritime border dispute. Now we come to Gaza. Gaza also has its own unexplored gas field. Gaza is also a concentration camp run by the Israelis, and it's been under siege by Egypt and Israel under naval blockade since 2007. And so now, the Lebanese, the Syrian, the Palestinian ports, they're all out of action, and the only working port left in the coast is the Israeli port on Haifa. This makes Israel the only one able to explore gas and implement an economic corridor like the one that Netanyahu held up at the UN. But as winter is approaching, Israel desperately need to get that gas for Europe. But there's no stability. There can never be stability in the region without solving the Palestinian question. And so when Netanyahu shows up at the UN with his brilliant plan, you know, the Israelis thought, oh, it's a done deal. You know, they'll just get Saudi Arabia to normalize ties and thereby extinguish the Palestinian issue once and for all. Hamas and the collective resistance, it became clear they needed to act and respond immediately, lest Palestine be lost forever. For Palestinians, this is, and always has been, a matter of life and death, to be or not to be.
في ناس هناك عالقة في ناس هناك عالقة يا شباب
بالفسفور
هذه هي الطريقة الوحيدة اللي عشان يطفوا فيها الفسفور
هيا فسفور
مرة ثانية تزايد هاي
فسفور هيا يا جماعة فسفور على مدرسة كان
هاي على الناس
ما حول ولا قوة الفسفور اللي اجت على البيوت المجاورة لمدارس فيها لمدارس فيها آلاف النازحين مش طبيعيين الناس
ياخذ لك منتين وأمن حالك اجيب لك شو اسمه هذا؟
لا لا لا
اجيب لك محلول؟
لا 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 كله تمام
Thank you. رافع راسي فوق انه كل العالم الظالم اتآمر علينا، ومش اتآمر بس بالكلمة، لا ببعتوا صواريخ وببعتوا طيارات وببعتوا حامل تناقل طائرات وببعتوا جند وببعتوا كذا وببعتوا جيش وببعتوا استخبارات. اوف هل قد غزة قوية؟ انا افتخر اني من غزة، افتخر من هذا البلد اللي اتآمرت عليه كل، ورغم كل العالم هذا اتآمر علينا وبساعد وببعت طيارات ودبابات وصواريخ ادوات البطش، ها انا افتخر وارفع راسي فوق عالي انه انا من منطقة في يوم من الايام كل العالم اتآمر عليها وكل العالم حاربها.
تمام، كيف حالك؟
الحمد لله.
سلم. كيف امورك؟
منيح الحمد لله.
كيف الوضع؟
منيح الحمد لله.
ايش عامل؟
ولا شيء. طلع كيف الحياة، مزع الحياة.
ايش صار معاكم؟ ايش صار معاكم يا جماعة؟
تمن شو هذا صار عندنا؟
طيب.
الشارع يعني في الشارع. شارع حميد كله الشارع يعني في تحت الردن. لسه في شارع حميد تحت الشارع. الحلبي وكله منيح.
عيني
انت
ما شفت شنو في العين. الحمد لله. الحمد
لله. ايه؟ طيب كنا ضابط القصص؟ لا انا بدي طالع. لا جيت لقيت من اثنين واحد عامل مشتاق. واحنا رجعناهم. خلاص.
الحمد لله على السلامة. الله يسلمك.
هاي
الدور
of transmission. Find us on the internet, radio.fm. Over and out.